go. Last week, what an odd situation that we had to cancel church because we were out of gas and our propane tank went empty. It's one of those situations, I want to take a moment to talk about it, because everybody had done everything they were supposed to do to make sure we didn't run out of gas. So all of the things were in place. And the gas company had been reminded, like, put us on automatic, you know, fill up, and et cetera, et cetera. Everything was done. And when we called them and talked to them, they're like, yep, it's right here. We're supposed to be doing this, you know, like, just missed it. It was so cool, and I found out just in time to get, some of you drive almost an hour to get here, so found out just in time to let everybody know and get the word out. It's kind of like, Alan and Doris were on their way from North Canton coming here, so, you know, we caught almost everybody. But it was neat. You know how you can get upset about stuff like this going wrong? I mean, we had to cancel church because the tank was empty and, you know, it wasn't our fault, you know, that thing. But again, the inside story, the rest of the story, I stayed cool. Pastors don't always stay cool. They should, but they don't. They can get as cranked up about stuff as anybody in the world, and sometimes even more so, and justify it. But I just stayed peaceful and stayed up here to catch the couple people that didn't get the memo and, you know, sent them home. And then we got gas, but we'd have been all half frozen to death if we just sat in here. Like, I was coughing, whatever, by the time we left. It was just cold in here. Yeah. But I had the weird, often we cancel church, like, oh, it's cool, just take a break, have a good Sunday. And I hope all of you just enjoyed being with your family, doing whatever. But I felt, it was one of the first times I felt a real, like, I was really disappointed. Like, I felt this emptiness, like, that we didn't have church. Like, I'm usually so overwhelmed, and you're just like, oh, it's nice to have a break, whatever. You know, church isn't supposed to be stressful, but it is, you know, it can be, you know. We've come to a place, and man, we have gone through it year after year after year of church was hard. It was hard to keep going. And I remember not just the Sundays, but the seasons where I would have the whole front row in this state of mourning, very valid things like loss of family, deaths, except be the whole way. I mean, I could hardly preach, like the front row was in tears, crying. I'm like, I just wanted to some days just dismiss them all, go sit in the cry room so I can function, because this is like, you're ripping my heart out, like this is hard. And it wasn't just a Sunday, it went on for quite a season. And I want to say to you, Tammy, you walk in here like, we all have our stuff we bring, our baggage. You're sitting in the midst of a bunch of baggage, you know, this is baggage claim 101 here, so... We're very reluctant to judge anybody because we all got enough stuff on our, you know, we're like, oh, I ain't got time to worry about what you're doing or not doing. I got my own stuff I'm worried about. And so we're people that have come out of all kinds of things, real things, difficult things, tragedies, disasters, failures. Like, I'm not divorced, thank God. Like, I made it in my marriage, but we've had enough separation in our church that I carry the guilt of divorce over losing some of the covenant people that we've lost over the years, and it just hangs on you. Like, it's, you know, you failed, you know. So all kinds of stuff we've had to overcome, and we've come to this joy, and I just want to take a moment to say, stayed peaceful. We didn't have church last Sunday. However, I really miss not having church. It's become such a joy just watching you all gather and interact with each other. And just, there's a picture I have, because it's finally getting easy enough for me that everybody's doing their thing, their part, their place. Like this morning, just ministering to Tammy, that was so, was neat. I love the picture of that. I love the body just stepping forward without even an agenda as far as here's how we do it, but just in a natural way, pouring out love on one another, ministering to one another, I just know that I know that I know the church is supposed to look a lot more like that. And we're developing a model that is so organic, it's genuine, it's real, and I love it. And I just love how you're all growing together, and there's this the relationships that we have and developing those, and it's neat, and I love seeing it. I love walking through the place and watching all the stuff go on, all the relationships and the kids running under your feet, and sometimes it's even messy. But every barn that's full of cows is. The only barn that stays perfectly clean is the one that has no cows in it, or sheep or goats or dogs or cats or anything else. Then you can keep it clean, lock it up, seal it up, and you go, oh, look, a beautiful barn, you know. But it's not real. It's just, you know, it's just a frame. It's empty. So we have the messy. We have that. It's fine. We work through things, try to fix, keep things as much in order as we can. But wow, I'm enjoying what we have. I enjoy the worship team the Lord gave me. I enjoy the body the Lord gave me. And life's not perfect, but I'm living my life. I'm not living someone else's life. I'm not under stuff. Like, if I don't like anything in my life, I pretty much only have myself to blame for it. So, you know, like, that's freedom and terrible all at the same time. Now who do you blame? Yeah, me. But just thank you for all of you being who you are, and I want you to continue to grow into who you are and find your place and focus on that. I actually want to share on that that very subject. It's my New Year's resolution. Here we go. You know, we were like, I want to lose weight, and I want to stop this and start that, more of this, more of that, and you go down the road, and how's it working out for you? Like, what's the date? The 12th. How are all those, you know? I mean, we don't even intend to make them when we make them. And after the first of the year, here's how I'm going to eat, and here's what I'm going to, you know. And how long do any of us make it? So it's fine. It's okay. But there are things to set your heart on that really will change your life and fix the stuff you want fixed. Then there are these other things. We're focusing on the symptoms, and we're fixing symptoms, and we're not going after the heart issues. So the symptoms come back. They just keep coming back. Because we never get to the core. We never get to, and the core, I'm convinced of this, and I just in my my time, it was actually the date on my notes. It's my journal. 1/1/20. Like, so it was just me sitting with the Lord for a little bit, I know what I want to focus on this year. And the first thing is that I want to receive, and this comes out of the revelations, and I shared this a few weeks ago that I've had this year that were so paradigm for me, so significant. I want to receive all I can from the provision and the benefits. You have to humble yourself to do this. Stop being Mr. and Mrs. America and humble yourself and go, wow, I need God. I need help. I need a father. I need a son. I need a Holy Spirit. We need the Trinity. And I want to go deeper in to all that God has for me. Because the first thing that he wants from me is to just receive. He wants to pour the Father wants to pour his love out on me. And I started praying that for the first time in my life. Because everything was like task-oriented. And I know the scripture, God loves me, and he first loved us. And he gives his son for us. And so I got to give back. I got to give him back something. I've got to earn that. I've got to respond. And immediately, if you're not careful, it all goes right back on you and your performance and what you can give. And then what you can do. If our ministry is based, our church, It doesn't have to be any more complicated than this, just our church, just a church. But anything that's ministry, anything we're trying to do for the Lord, if we get it wrong at the foundation, then the whole thing is going to, it's not right. And if the foundation is to get the sense of, I'm deserving now what the Lord's given for me, or I'm doing something that's going to make me feel significant, all of those things, you've got to be very, very careful that what we do and what we do for the Lord is really out of relationship with Him and really Ecclesiastes says there's a task that's given to man. And what is that task? That task is to find out what the heck you're supposed to be doing. That task, your biggest job is, what's my purpose? What should I be putting my hand to? And if I only use comparison with everybody else, you are going to fail and you're going to be frustrated, depressed, and constantly living in a sense that you're not adding up and you're not what you're supposed to be. You'll never escape those. It doesn't matter how tall your mansion is. It doesn't matter how high, how big, how wide your thing is that you're working on it. You'll never get the satisfaction of feeling like you're living in your purpose. I've had times when, seasons when I was just pursuing, really, really spending time with the Lord, a lot of time with the Lord. And I got into that and I'm like, wow, it was one of the most satisfying seasons in my entire life. Because there was such a sense of connecting with what I was supposed to, what I was really, really supposed to be doing. And when you find those things, and you're not doing it because you're watching how somebody else does it, but you find your thing and you find your place, you find your purpose because you were all, it's the beauty of it. We're all so uniquely made. We have different things that we pursue. I mean, we keep referring, Christopher Formilo is a great example right now for us. It's just a living example for us. Do you understand how unique what he does is? Does it look like anything you've ever seen or heard of before? And there is a story. This is what I say about why I love the president. I have a story about that. And I can tell you my story. I can tell you how the Lord moved me from here to here to here to here to here to where I am. There's a story there. And there needs to be a story to what your purpose is and what you do and what you value and how you live your life. And Christopher has a story as to how this developed. And it was a story of him following the Spirit. He had some conversations with the Lord. He made some promises. Took a while for him to get around to yielding to the promises he made to the Lord. He finally did. He ends up at a hospital, and that's where the haircut comes. A little girl with cancer, more likely to die than to live, gives him a haircut. He makes a vow. I'll wear this haircut if you promise me you'll fight for your life and fight and give your heart to getting better and getting whole. And he begins to develop what he is and has laid down his ability to make a lot of money playing piano because he's extremely good and to do this thing. And the Lord's just blessing it and prospering him and giving him different opportunities. And he's blessing people. Why is that? Because he found his thing to do. He had his passion to play his piano. He played, he pursued that through the disappointments, the difficulties of it. It wasn't the popular thing for him to do when he was doing it. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with being rejected for following what you really want to do and who you really want to be? Within the parameters of what, of course, is right and good and wholesome. There's a price to pay. There's always a price to pay. But the people that pay the biggest prices end up with the biggest bonuses. They end up with the greatest things because they found their place and their niche. And their friends may have went on and this happened and that happened. I have had several seasons in my life where it looked like all of my friends were like getting it, living lives, getting married, having families, whatever. And I'm stuck on my dad's dairy farm in the wilderness. Like, what am I going to do with my life? I have a calling. I don't know what to do. I was so lost. I was so depressed at that time. Like the serious stuff. It's amazing, and yet the Lord is always watching over and brought me out of that. And now I have this unique life that's not anybody else's life. And I'm blessed and I'm rich with what the Lord's provided to them. Are you willing to go after? And that begins with you finding the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I want to emphasize the three in one. It's important for you to be as intimate as you can with all three parts of the Godhead. The greatest mystery, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But every relationship in that Godhead is important for you to know and understand. You never outgrow needing a father. It changes. Every father-son, every father-daughter relationship changes from infancy to maturity, but it doesn't go away. Isn't it funny? You don't like come to a certain place unless you're living in something abnormal. And there's a lot of abnormal, I understand. But you don't get to a certain age and then kick your parents to the curb relationally. I find actually I'm closer to my daughter once she became an adult. There were certain different seasons in that. And the relationship changes. But ditzing the relationship, like only the enemy would want to destroy that. That's who wants to destroy it. That's who wants to foul that up. But the Lord wants to make, it was intended to be good. And we just have to adjust. And our Father in heaven, we grow with him, we develop him, and he's always our Father. And the relationship, even our relationship with him changes and transitions. It got to a point where with Moses and Enoch and different characters in the Bible where they were his friends, like they walked with him. And Jesus, if you don't know Jesus as being the hero of your life, then you're missing who he is. Then you're selling him short. He's that brother, that savior, that he, like we understand what heroes are. Our entertainment's full of heroes. And Jesus is that superhero for all of us. He redeemed us. He saved our lives. And he pursues and he presses on and he continues to pray, make intercession for us. His role in this season of time is to make intercession for you to the Father. He covers you with prayer. Intercession is that place, that role that you step into to actually undergird and bring things to pass for somebody else. He makes intercession for us. And the Holy Spirit, how intimate can you get with the Holy Spirit? He's the greatest teacher. He's the greatest comforter. He's the one that anoints you and gives you the juice for your life. And so we want to grow. I want to grow into that and read my Bible in a new, looking for all that there is, because the only hope I have and the only chance I have of improving my life for this year, improving anything, and yeah, there are things. I can give you the list. You can give me your list. I'll save mine, you save yours. How's that? But we all have things. This year, no more of that, more of this. But when you get your life under this thing of relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you get as much of the, I need more of God when I'm not doing well, not less. Getting more of him is not the reward. Getting more of him is the only thing that's going to help you change. It's the only thing that's going to make you better. It's the only thing that's going to get you dialed in to your purpose. Like, when do you feel most alive? And I hope you agree with me. This is my experience. When I'm dialed into what he's saying and what he's doing and I'm hearing him. And it's not, being led by the Spirit isn't the easy way. Being led by the Spirit often means I need to do something that I don't even want to do right now. And we have to discern that. It's not just only doing what you feel like doing, but it's about following something that's greater than you. Like, no, I don't want to make that phone call. Make the phone call. I don't want to make that phone call. Make the phone call. I don't want to. And it nags at you like, all right, I'll make the phone call. That's being led by the Spirit. That's awesome. You don't even get a bad check mark if you struggle with it and don't do it at first. Who's the better servant? The one who says, oh, yeah, I'll do that, and then give it, never gets around to it? Or the servant says no and then goes, oh, I got to do this. In the end, at the end of the day, obeying is what gets the reward. Like, obey. If it takes you a little bit of time, God is so patient with us. And he just hangs and he waits for us. Inevitably, that lifts. If you don't do it and you keep resisting, you don't want to live that life. I want to live a life of yielding and yielding as quickly as I can. And that's the stuff that Phyllis and I are practicing and kind of refreshing ourselves on this. We want to just obey the Lord. We get a thing, a cue, a do this, call here, go there, whatever. Do it. Do it as fast and expediently as we can. And it will, I find when I've had those things and then I don't obey it, depression sets in. I've got a cure for depression. Do the last thing the Lord told you to do. It's amazing. And even if it's nominal, normal tasks, do the ironing, wash the clothes, wash the car, fix the... I'm in this season where I got to catch up on all the promises that I've made to people, things to fix, including my wife. Wow, there's the big list, you know. I'm like, I can't take on anymore. I've got to do this stuff. It's not even right that I keep doing other things. I've got to do the things I've said. Isn't it so easy to keep saying yes to stuff? But there's no price to saying yes. The price comes later is doing it, fulfilling it. I want to clean up all that stuff, and that all comes from sitting with the Lord and just, you know, he'll like, yeah, you need to go there. You need to not be famous today. You need to spend time with your kids. You need to not be famous today. You need to spend time where you're not going to get any accolades for it. Do the normal things. Do the unseen thing. Do those things. And your Father, who sees you in secret, will reward you openly. And the second focus is what I'm sharing right now, following and receiving. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. I've been enjoying my Passion Translation so much, and I know that it can be somewhat different from the translation you may be using, whatever that is, and I just loved it because it's so refreshing, and I'll find a phrase that's like, ah, that's different. But then I look at the notes and I look at where Brian Simmons is coming from with how he translated, why he translated it, and I go, oh, yeah, this is, you know, it's passionate. It's passion. And the Bible is passionate and should be passionate. And this heartfelt, like, real stuff. And so I had read this verse, and it was on this same morning that I was sitting with the Lord on the first day of the new year. And in verse 14, here's how the Passion Translation reads: "So then, we must cling in faith to all we know to be true." There's a resolution right there. Get you through the rest of the year. Cling to everything that you know to be true of the Lord. Cling to it, like cling to it. Do you know how, y'all know how to cling to something? Like, latch hold on it and don't let go. Be determined, like, I want this. Don't be lazy. Don't try something for 5 minutes and say, it's not working. And this is, yeah, I know my young people, my young families, young adults will appreciate me saying this. When it comes to us more mature people, us grayheads, and we're dealing with our phones and our computers, and we're like, here, fix this for me. I don't want to do this, you know. And at some point, your kids go, do it yourself. Just take a few minutes to concentrate and figure it out, you know. You ever know? Is it only me that it's like, just do, you know, okay. Because we don't like to work at things. And it's hard. It's challenging. Like, my brain's not wired for computers. Our kids, they are. They just seem to, you know. The one-year-old seems to know how to run my phone better than I do. You know, that thing. But we have to start, spend energy on what matters, especially with your faith. Cling to the promises. Stop being casual. You need the promises. Have you come to that conclusion? Are you broke? Are you sick? Are you struggling with relationships? Do you got the issues? Do you have the need? Oh, yeah, we got the need. We need the cure. We got the sickness. You know, it was Fiddler on the Roof, one of the quotes from Teviot. What was it? Send us the cure because we've got the sickness already. It's something like that. Sickness we have already. We got that. We need the cure. Heal us. Save us. So there's all these promises. There has to be a movement in your heart to lay hold of them. Get out Psalms 103 and go, I want this. Lay it out and don't just read. This is what being a disciple, this is the difference between being a disciple or being a convert is. That when a disciple is intent on following, listening, hearing, and I may turn to Isaiah 50 in a moment, but maybe not, I'll never get to it. But it's that, you know how as parents we look at our kids and we go, listen to me. You know that thing? Do you just mean hear my voice to them? Or do you mean do what I'm telling you? Listen means hear it and do it. Hear it and obey it. Your life depends on it. Because I'm going to sacrifice you up to something if you don't listen to me, you know? And it's appropriate for the Lord to say the same thing to us. And a disciple is in this mode of, I want to be like the teacher. I want to listen. I want to learn. I want to learn and I want to do so that when someone sees me doing, they go, hey, he's just like his teacher. He's acting that out. He's living that out. And if you start going at the words of Jesus with this intention, I'm doing this stuff. Whatever it costs, and not bypassing anything. Not doing the good things and go, oh, I don't want to do that. Can't do that one. We've all stumbled over scriptures that are like touching our sore spots. Like, oh, flip the page. Next chapter has got to be more better than that. A disciple follows and doesn't take shortcuts. And we begin to follow. We begin to do everything with all of our hearts, following, listening, believing, laying hold of promises, getting intentional about it. Kenny referred to favor, and there's this thing. One of the scriptures that I've like hard as it is at our age to memorize scripture, especially, you know. But I'm like, I need to start doing this again, and I want more of you too. And we're talking about it, and I actually have a plan brewing in my head to just get more of you engaged in this year. But John 14:21 says, "Those who truly love me are those that will hear, they'll obey my commands, and whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. And I will also passionately love you in return, and I will manifest my love within you." So we know that God loves us first. But here's a verse that says something interesting. First of all, if you're not obeying, then don't be boasting that you love me. Like, doing what I ask is part of loving me. And if you don't do that, then I don't know. You're in trouble. And this is the interesting thing. If you passionately love me, you'll be passionately loved by my Father. But the Father loved us first, but there's this reciprocal. And in every good relationship you have, does love not pass back and forth? And I love you, and I love you back, and I love you. And you, a good, healthy, close relationship is a relationship where the love comes back and forth, right? And it grows. It's not just, I love you once, that's it. And you go, well, I love you back, that's it. Ask any young husband, you know, that tries to avoid telling his wife constantly that he loves her. Like, hey, you still love me? He's like, I told you that last week, you know, like, whatever. No, that's not getting it, dude. Like, you got to say it often. You've got to reaffirm that. Right? And actually, us men, we're just as bad. We need love reaffirmed. Even in our normal relationships, it needs to keep getting affirmed. And I believe maybe this is where favor comes in, where he loves us, we respond, we love him back. Then love comes back on us, and this is perhaps the favor. I want favor in my life, like anybody else. Good parking places, that would mean a lot to my wife. Me, I'm like, you like to walk all the time anyways. Let's park out here in the open where it's easy to get in and out. No, there's one up there. Hurry. Like, oh my gosh. You'll drive to your mother's, walk for a couple miles, drag her through the woods, but we've got to park close to Walmart. Like, I don't get all this. Help me. But man, favor is an amazing thing when things just start falling into place. And the Father wants to do that with you. Go after him. Be that child that, be John, the disciple that leans on Jesus' chest and then walks away going, he loves me better. He kind of loves you, but he loves me more. Like, develop that, steal that. I'm the favorite, just go for it. Mike Bickle taught us that years ago. I'm his favorite, you're not violating anything. You just go after that, grab it, claim it. You'll never get in trouble from heaven for doing that. Pursue him. He responds. I respond. People that choose to be close, they get something from me. I may love everybody in general, but the ones that reach out and grab on, like you have your grandchildren, like, do they not get whatever? Okay, up to half my kingdom. You know that thing where, you know, they go like this to you. You're like, how do you say no? I would encourage you to replicate that with your Father in heaven. When's the last time spiritually you just stopped trying to talk so much and you just got in the Lord's presence? And here's Jace has developed this, my grandson that's 18 months old now. He's developed this thing. Here's what he does to me. If I'm sitting somewhere, he comes and pulls on something on my clothing, my pants, my shirt, anything he can get a hold, pulls on it. That means get up. He's trained me. I'm like a circus ant, you know. I get up. Next thing is up come his arms. What's that mean? Pick me up. Once he's up, then I start getting more instructions. When he come and when he does this, I can't deny him. Like, he gets so much out of me just because he comes, he wants, he, you know, and doesn't apologize. I never get a sorry, you know. Papaw, that's my, I finally got a name. I was waiting for him to decide what he's going to call me. You know. Pa. So. We must cling in faith to all we know to be true, for we have a magnificent high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose in the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with us in our frailty. He understands humanity, for as a man, our magnificent king priest was tempted in every way just as we are and conquered sin. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. So this is this beautiful picture when you're in your weakness that this is the throne you want to make a path to. This, you want to make a path to this, a well-worn path to get to that throne where you can come and he understands your frailty. Learn that even when you're in the midst of temptation and frustration and you've crashed and you're emotional and all those things, learn to come then. Don't wait till you're okay and looking and feeling spiritual. Come then with your mess. When you're in the midst of feelings like, I'm going to kill somebody, come then. I dare you. I double dare you. Come then. Come with it and just come in there. Come to this throne of mercy and just throw it out there like, here I am. I'm a hot mess. I'm mad. He will not reject you, and you'll find grace there. You'll find mercy there. You won't stay like that long. And you'll find this place when you have this urgent need for help. The same Greek word that's there is, that's right. Boethia. I know you all know that name. I don't. It's the same word that shows up in Acts 27 when they're on a ship, Paul's on the ship, and they're about to lose the whole thing. It's got to be a scary situation. I've never been on a ship that's rocking hard in the waves. I remember our tent, when the wind would blow, it sounded like you were on a ship, creaked and crawled, and you're like, I hope everything stays up there, you know, like, wow. And to be out in the ocean and be in a wooden vessel and the stress and the strain of not metal. Have you ever seen the pictures of the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean? Is it not broken in half? Is that correct? I think it is. If a part of that was sitting here and you saw how thick the metal was and how big that was, you'd be like, whoa, wow. How did that break in half? I mean, it's just a ship in the ocean. It just kind of sunk to the, how did it break in half? I don't really have an answer for that in case you're waiting for one. But it's just the reality that the ship built out of all this iron and heavy stuff and welded and blah, blah, blah. It broke in half because the stress factor of being in a situation like this, of all the weight and how big it was and how mammoth. And here these guys are on a ship, and the stress factor of bashing on the waves and lifting and going, whatever. And there was something they would do. They would gird the ship, and especially with wooden vessels, this was a bigger reality. Again, I don't know how they would accomplish that, but there was this thing where they would put ropes under the whole hull to gird it and make it stronger, because this is all they had was that ship and the ocean. And so they would strengthen it so that it wouldn't break apart, because masts are breaking and things are coming apart. And that's the same word for urgent care. Like, there's this girding that needs to take place, and you come to this throne of grace so that you can get girded. You ever feel like you're in that tempest and things are creaking and you're like, something's going to break? I know you feel that. Like, been on the verge of a nervous breakdown recently? It's real. Like when the stress is getting so great and you're emotionally creaking and you're like, something's going to snap. I've had just a few moments of that in my life. It's scary. Ears start ringing. Like, you can get not feel numb physically. Like, I've had it just once or twice. And it's scary. You're like, lights are about to go out. It's real. And this is that time and that place where you come, the Lord will undergird you. Learn to get to that place He will gird you up, keep you from breaking in half. That's this throne. And that's this hero, priest, king that is in this, that is on this throne, that's in this throne. And we run there and make a well-worn path to this throne in your life and claim these promises. Now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned. That infers coming often, that the path is worn. I know how to get to that throne. Do you know how to get to this throne of grace? Is it a well-worn path, or do you stay away from it? I mean, this is where the rubber hits the road. The invitation for you, for all of us, is to find that place and run there. And learn to tap into that thing. Learn to tap into that thing. Because nobody can fix this for you. And nobody can suffice what you will get from that throne. And get the answers. We have tons of questions in our life. You need to find the answer for you. I'm getting so wise as I get older. I don't try to fix anybody. And I don't even try to give. I'm very reluctant to give answers. But I do help people discover what they know or what they feel. And all of a sudden, out it'll come. It's the greatest joy when you're talking to someone and just listening, just asking questions, and all of a sudden they uncover what's really bothering them. And you go, oh, there you go. It's so easy. But when you have to try to fix people, deliver situations, deliver yourself, that gets complicated. That's heavy. That's hard. But all of us, when the light comes, then wow, just like that, things can change. You start getting your feet on a path, and you have this well-worn path to this throne of grace, because you know that's where your ship gets girded. That's where the strength comes from. That's where you found safety. And you come to this guy, you come to this priest king who knows your frailty. That's huge. Isn't that the most intimidating thing, is to come and feel like I'm not going to add up? It's the most intimidating thing in our culture, and it's running rampant. Everybody's afraid they're not going to add up. If I drive up in this car, I'm not going to add up. I've had this. I've dealt with this. I've gone to pastor's meeting driving some old Rambler that I got for $400, you know. I was so humiliated, like I just died. But it was all I had. Now I'd be like, oh, baby, look at this 66 Rambler. Isn't this sharp? For an old car, I think that's the one I sold. Yeah, sold to Sean. It was fine. It got from point A to point B, but I was ashamed because I didn't have it because it was cool. I had it because it was all I could afford at the time. And so it changes this thing you have. Isn't it funny how that it's just a matter of perspective, and you're like, we need to tap into all the Lord has for us. I don't want to go any longer. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for this grace. I ask for this throne of grace to open up for everybody. Let us make a well-worn path. Let our resolution be this year that we're going to spend more time. We're going to receive everything that you have for us. We're going to receive all the forgiveness that you have, all the strength that you have, all the help that you have, all the love that you have for us. Pour it out. Because there's no hope for me ever changing if I don't get more of you, if I don't continue to get more of you. And I do want to get to the place of favor in my life, in every area. And I know that only comes as I keep approaching you and hold my arms up to you and let you pick me up, let you love me, that I love and desire most of all to be close to you and to be near you. I just ask that in Jesus' precious name, in Jesus' name. Is there anybody else that needs prayer today before you go? Like, we can go, Jenna, did you want prayer?